It is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to the Nosebleeds Podcast. We are here at the Rose Hill Studios in the Bronx, New York. It is a beautiful day in the Bronx. I'm Grace McCarron, joined by Maddie Bergen and Angel Ducret. We have a lot to talk about. Another week of baseball is nearly in the books. We got Mets, Yanks, and then we have a little game at the end because I love me a little game at the end of a podcast. But before we get into all that, it's final season here at Fordham. We're almost at the end. People are starting to move out. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. My time at Fordham is coming to an end. I graduate in 2 weeks, which I can't believe. But I'm excited to sit here now, talk some Yankees, talk some Mets, I guess. But I'm very excited to be here with you guys.
Yeah, my career ends in 2 weeks, too.
This is so sad.
It's not a good time right now, you know, a lot of nerves, finals, all of that. But I mean, when you get to talk Yanks, Mets, with how good New York teams are going right now, I can't be complaining too much.
All right, well, let's get right into it. Let's take a break from thinking about finals and graduation. Let's start with the New York Mets. I'm just gonna get this off the table quickly. They lost last night to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Okay, I had to say it. Final score 4-3 for Arizona. I was there last night, noticed some things about the Mets. They started with the opener, Oscar Brazoban, which was fine. He did well. The pitching generally was pretty good last night. But they did seem to struggle to leave runners on base. They were 0-10 with runners in scoring position. It's not going to win you a lot of ball games. So, yeah, that happened. But the good news is that in just about 40 minutes, the Mets still have the chance to clinch a win in the three-game series with Arizona as they play the last game of that one at 1:10 at Citi Field. Guys, overall, this series, what have we seen with the Mets?
I think yesterday, talking about the Mets and how they've played recently, it's not a good representation of how they are offensively. They scored 34 runs in three games straight, and it's just their offense right now is so impressive, and I don't think that it's just a testament to how they are offensively, and I think that their bullpen in the end kind of sold it a little bit. You know, Ryan Stanek, he gave up the lead that they had, and that's the third time in a row he's done that.
I'm a little worried about him.
Yeah, it's a whole maybe a little Devin Williams situation going on. Like, do we take him out and put him in a less intense part of the game? But I don't know. I think the Mets offensively have been so good, and I really, like I said before, I don't think that's like a testament to who they are offensively.
No, yeah, I wouldn't be worried about their offense. Yesterday was Corbin Burns on the mound. Like, it's kind of expected against anyone who goes against that man. Like, your offense is not going to hit 19 runs, you know, 8 runs like they've been doing the past couple of games, right? So they do have another challenging matchup today with Zach Gallen.
Yeah.
So I
remember him against the Yankees.
Yeah.
I don't want to remember him against the Yankees. A strike a machine. But like, I wouldn't be worried too much about offense. You guys still have one of the top offenses in the MLB alone. Mm-hmm. You're just going in a stretch of tough pitching matchups right now, but you do have Senga on the mound, so it should be like a close game. I have faith for you. I think I should win this series.
Thank you.
No problem.
I appreciate that. Well, thanks, guys.
The one thing I'll say good about Mets right now.
Now, actually, on the topic of pitching, the Mets have taken some hits in their bullpen. You talked about Stanek, who has been struggling a little bit, but on the injury side, AJ Minter went down. He might have season-ending surgery. And then yesterday we learned that Danny Young is on the injured list with an elbow sprain. And Carlos Mendoza said that Tommy John is on the table for him too. So it's May 1st, and we might have lost two bullpen pieces already, which is not great, to say the least. Those are two guys also who have been a little bit up and down in the first month, but their past few appearances were really, really strong. So when there's guys like, you know, Stanek struggling a little bit, Diaz, we kind of know how he is these days.
He's a wild card right now.
He's a wild card.
But, you know, he's one of the best closers in the league. So you know he's going to get to that point.
You kind of with Diaz, I feel like you just kind of have to like you know what's coming.
Yeah.
Like I just know like it's not it might not be easy, but I do generally have faith that he's going to close it out and it's going to be fine. But overall, you don't really want to see these injuries hit the bullpen, especially this early, because I mean, we talk about how good the Mets pitching has been so far this season, kind of like a pleasant little surprise. I don't think anybody expected this rotation to be holding it together the way that I say holding it together, like
holding it together was not what I thought
was going to happen. With all due respect,
who are the two people you're missing right now in the rotation? Manaea
and Frankie Montas,
right?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, like I had no faith in Yaz starting rotation.
No,
before
neither
this.
Did I.
Most people didn't.
Especially when I heard Clay Holmes is putting in the starting rotation. I'm like, you guys are not.
He was the opening day
good.
Starter. I'm sorry, what?
That was crazy. Yeah.
Last year he was struggling for my team.
Yeah. I said in a previous Nosebleeds episode, I was saying how when they had signed Juan Soto and they got Pete Alonso back and obviously still have Lindor, I was like, okay, their offense is going to be crazy. And in the start of the season, it was completely opposite, where the pitching was so good with Clay Holmes. And I was thinking they're going to be so bad in the pitching rotation.
Right.
But now both honestly have been so well, and it's stinks to see as a Yankee fan. But I do think you guys have gone through so many pitching injuries right now. Like having your two best pitchers out, taking these two out. I think not having AJ Minter, that's a huge, huge blow for the Mets. But I do think that your offense is so strong. And if Juan Soto can really get fully in the groove of things, like he's starting to pick it up a little bit. But I think that once he settles in and he's able to hit behind Alonso, in front of Alonso, having Lindor behind him, I think they can do really good things, even if their pitching is struggling just a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of with Soto, I feel like this is always a topic, but I do feel like eventually he's going to get in the groove. And I like the way that they've, you know, I mean, last night was they were kind of due for a loss like mm-hmm. that, because they haven't really had that one. That's like, I mean, they had the one where they blew the lead against the Nationals the other day. Okay, we don't have to talk about those a few days ago. But, like, they had that. That was just really bad. But last night was kind of like you had that game. There were so many instances where they could have won that game. I mean, Alvarez, to end the game, grounded out with the bases loaded. And I was like, wow, this is giving me flashbacks to previous Mets teams. But they were due for a loss like that. They've been so fantastic at home. Now they're 13-2 at home.
That's still the best record, though, right?
Yeah. That is still the best record. I didn't update this since yesterday, but I'm assuming it is still the best record at home in all of Major League Baseball. And now they're 21-10 overall. I believe they were the last team to 10 losses, which is kind of crazy.
First 20 wins.
So overall, you know, I'm not that scared about last night. It was not great. There were some questions about the choices in pitching towards the end. When Stana came in, some people were like, why didn't Diaz pitch last night? Or now I'm totally blanking on the guy who pitched the ninth name, but why did he come in, not Edwin Diaz, who has had several days of rest? So you can make the argument about that. But overall, that's yesterday, and it's a new day. And Mets go back on the road this weekend to St. Louis to play the Cardinals, who they took very easy care of last time when the Cardinals were in New York, and then they head to Arizona, play the Diamondbacks, and then they're back home to face the Cubs. So I think this is a good little stretch up here.
Yeah.
The Cardinals, like, not really a contender. They do have a decent, like, they have some bats that I feel like could heat up, so that could be interesting. Diamondbacks, we've seen, I think they're better than their record says. But
I agree.
And then the Cubs are, like, Cubs are contending for that division.
They're surprising. First in the division
right
now.
That's their division.
Really? You think the Cubs right now are surprising?
I thought a little bit. Like
maybe.
Like, I wasn't expecting it. I feel like just in recent years, like, they haven't necessarily been the biggest contender, and I feel like just seeing them now, and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
good for them.
I get that, but, like, I see the rest of the teams in the division, and I'm thinking, like,
that's
after
true,
you
division
acquire
is, like, not
Kyle
good.
Tucker.
But it's not
and,
the
like,
most competitive division.
No,
you
it's
know?
Not.
Yeah.
So that's why I believe they should
have
been
number one.
Yeah,
and having Kyle Tucker definitely helps them out a lot.
Kyle Tucker is... He's I think great. Putting that team on his back. But
100%.
Cubs are 18-13, so that will be a good test of the Mets, see where they're at in a couple of weeks. But I think we can move on to the Yankees.
Much to
the happiness of both of you guys.
Well, it's not happiness right now.
You know what,
well, right.
Before we go to the Yankees, I actually want to ask you this question, Grace. I wanted to ask you this last week, but I forgot. What did you think about Juan Soto saying that he's not getting pitched the same as he did in the Yankees because he doesn't have Judge? I just want to hear it because you're a Mets fan,
actually.
And I'm just curious.
I didn't get to talk about this when it happened. It was fine. Like, I mean, he's probably right. Like, of course, it's Aaron Judge hitting behind. Like, okay, I will be the first to admit, guys, you can clip this if you want to. Aaron Judge is better to hit behind than pretty much anybody else in the major leagues.
I love to hear that.
It's just how it is. And I'm willing to admit that because I love Aaron Judge. I love watching him play. I can't believe I'm saying this right now. God, it makes me nauseous. But
on a podcast,
it's true. God, this is going to get clipped. But like, it's the truth. Mm-hmm. Like anybody else that you can put in there, it's not going to really be the same as Aaron Judge. Like,
it's not the same, but I think he got that much criticism for the comment because of the player who's hitting behind him currently, who's practically your best hitter on the team right now.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not saying, obviously, we know, like, Pete Alonso is not Aaron Judge, and most likely throughout the rest of the season, like, Alonso is going to kind of regress to cool down a little bit, and Judge, I mean, he's Judge. I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to say anything, but it is the truth. So, when you look at it like that, when you have, you chose the Mets for a reason, and you have one player playing beyond the back of his baseball card right now, and then you make comments like that.
It's like a little, I don't know. I just think he is under such like scrutiny right now just because of the contract and all of the, we left the Yankees and went to the Mets.
That's
all, like, that was expected too. And the fact that, like, okay, maybe he's not hitting like 400 right now, which Aaron Judge is, but like, but that was expected. I think once he actually does get into his groove on offense, and I think he will, I think maybe that stuff will kind of go away a little bit. And if the Mets keep it up like this, because eventually it's just about like the Mets having the best record in baseball if they continue that way. Like, that's the story.
Yeah.
If they were bad, it would not be great. But to put it lightly, but I just overall, I was kind of shrug about that whole thing. I was like, it's Aaron Judge. Like, it's a little different, guys. Like, it is what it is.
Because I know when I heard that comment, I was like, you could have still been behind him. Like, as a Yankee fan, I was like, you could have had, what, $5 million less for one less year or one extra year?
No, we gave him 16.
16. Okay, so we would have had an extra year, but $5 million less.
Yeah.
And you're still getting paid $765 million.
Yeah.
Like, when I heard it, I was like, okay, like, that just seems like a little jab at Yankee fans or like Mets fans a little bit. So I understand how both sides could be like aggravated on that. And I think you make a good point where having eyes on you after either saying something like that or making a move like that, because all eyes were on Rafael Devers when he said that he was not a DH. And then everybody watched him plateau 0-19.
Yeah.
Everybody's eyes were on Marcus Stroman when he said that he is a starter and he's not a reliever. He's not going to take it out of position. And look at him now. I mean, he's on the IL right now. But
before
that,
I agree.
I think it's totally fake. I'm not the biggest Marcus Stroman fan.
It's a bully move.
No.
Bone does this every year with someone that he doesn't want to, like, DFA.
A.K.A. DJ LeMahieu.
Yes. Exactly. Yep.
He just puts you on the IL. There's an injury there. No one was talking about his knee prior to that last start he had. Okay. And then now he had...
I will admit, like, I think Carlos Mendoza, well, I think this is probably a thing across baseball, but I think, like, the Phantom IL is totally, like,
oh my God,
totally a thing. I think there was one instance last season, I can't remember when it was, but I think, like, Edwin Diaz, or someone in the Mets bullpen, maybe Diaz went on the IL, and everybody was like, that's kind of weird. Like, he'd been kind of not his best, like, maybe just give him a few days. So, that's, you know, on the topic of Yankees pitching. Actually, this is a great segue. Carlos Rodon, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been known, I think I've said on this podcast at least three times, like, I have not been able to trust him since he became a Yankee because
you're the only one.
Yeah. I don't think anybody has. But he's been great lately. I mean, let's talk about Tuesday. He had a perfect game bid through five innings. Like, that's not what we've seen from Carlos Rodon as a Yankee generally, but this year, 3.43 ERA on the year. I mean, nothing to complain about there, but my main question now is, I know what my answer is, but do you guys trust him going forward?
Okay. I think that Rodon is such a mental player. I think that if he has one bad pitch, if he has one bat, if he walks a batter, if someone's got a good at bat, I think he gets in his head so much and he allows it, like, to affect the rest of his innings or however long he's in the game. And I think that once he gets settled into himself and settled into his pitches, he has his fastball down, he has all of his other pitches set, I think that he is reliable in that sense. But once something goes wrong, the slightest thing goes wrong, mm-hmm. then everything just it's not good for him. So I think that, yeah, exactly. So we've seen it too, where he's had pretty slow starts to games and then he picks it up as games go on. Cause I get nervous. It's like the first inning and there already are runs on the board. He's walking people. I'm like, oh my God, here we go. But then he'll get into it by the second, the third inning, and he's in for 6.5 innings. It's like, it's nice to see, but he's got to get settled in earlier. He can't let those things get to his head. But I also understand that sports are pretty much 80% mental, 20% physical. Yeah. So I understand that.
His recent stretch last three games has been great. I won't say nothing bad about it. But to your point, like, Rendon's the kind of guy that if he's throwing 100 pitches in a game, 90 of them looks like he's a top 10 pitcher in mm-hmm. the league, like mm-hmm. elite stuff. And there's always those couple few pitches that if it's bad location, if it's just the wrong pitch type, that he would just get taxed on. I think he still leads the league in home runs, if not this year, especially since like 2022-23, he leads the league in home runs given up. He's a guy, like, he has a 3.43 ERA right now. I'm not gonna lie, he'll probably end the season off with between a 3.2 and a 3.4. And I would say, yeah, like, that's a reliable starting pitcher.
That's good.
That's my number two.
I could agree. I agree with you.
I don't need him to be Max Fried. I don't need him to be the ace, you know. Yeah. I mean, we signed him to ace money. I'm not gonna lie. We did, but Rendon, he's going to have these stretches. You know, he's going to have the great games, the good games, and the games that you start questioning why he's a Yankee.
Yeah, and that's everybody, though. Like, yeah. Max Fried started out super slow, and we're like, oh, geez, like, you're supposed to be the ace. And then now look at Devin Williams, and he's supposed to be one of the best closers in the whole league.
Yeah.
And he's been taken out of the closing position.
But
so
to be honest, like, we need you know, as a Yankee fan, I'm going to keep saying we. But
that's okay.
Colin, I do, too.
Colin Rendon needs to continue this stretch until the starting rotation either gets bolstered by a trade or once, like, Luis Gil comes back. Like, he just needs to kind of stretch this out for as long as possible. I mean, if it could be throughout the rest of the season, great. You know, into playoffs, that's amazing. But right now, there was a stat that I saw on X. Fried, Rendon, and Schmidt on a rotation averaged, like, a 2.86 ERA. Great numbers besides that. Warren, Cookie, and Stroman.
Shout out Carlos Carrasco.
He
seems like the nicest man. I feel really bad. Like,
I can't take it anymore. They all average below 7 ERA in their starts. Like, those are like guaranteed losses almost. It's just frustrating that you can't rely on, because just like the Mets, I feel like you guys have five guys that you can feel confident that your fourth, fifth start can at least get you the win.
Yeah,
I don't feel confident that my third star can get me the win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's not
but
good.
It stinks because we could have that if everybody was healthy.
Exactly.
We would have Luis Gil. We'd have Gerrit Cole back. If we had everybody healthy, we would have a pretty decent starting five men. Like, that'd be crazy.
I would say that's like a solid, trying to think, like, top 10 rotations in the league.
Oh,
but that's up there.
It's
like, that's
so up there. And even in the beginning of the season, Aaron Boone was like, you could have six starting men. Like, with the men that you could have.
For sure. Yeah.
You could have reigning pitchers. Like,
that's what we thought we were going to have.
And then we have, like, one. We have one and a half if Rodon's feeling it, if he's not in his head. But I don't know. I think he's so good when he has his stuff, but I also think he needs to be himself as a pitcher and not try to take Gerrit Cole's spot or be that ace. Like, do what you're comfortable and what you're capable of doing. Don't try to overperform and get in your head, and that's when he gets all screwed up.
And he leads the league in strikeouts. Like, he's very focused when he's locked in.
Yeah.
You know, the walks are the only issue of, like, every Yankee pitcher, honestly. But I'm not too worried about Rendon. Okay, I mean, his last couple of games were against, I don't want to say easier opponents, but I mean, I do want to see him against some top competition coming up soon, I won't lie.
Okay.
And then I think that would test out, like, all right, is this a pitcher that we're going to get? Because even last year, he had the first half of the season, he looked like a guaranteed number two star next to Cole. His numbers were great, and he kind of just, like, lost it towards the end and kind of came back in the playoffs. We just need that consistency throughout. Mm-hmm. And I think if Rendon can keep doing that, you'll feel confident in that Fried and Rendon can lead this rotation as long as possible. And then now as the Yankees, they have to make a move. They have to do something in the starting rotation, because you can't go into a possible September situation and an October situation with I mean, Clark Schmidt's fine. But with Will Warren, Stroman, or I almost said Carrasco. Oh, my God. Carrasco.
Yeah.
In my rotation, even though he was supposed to come back hopefully in June or July.
Yeah. We'll see. Loaisaka and Heel should be back in the rotation sometime soon. They say maybe next month and the coming
yeah,
weeks.
Yeah, Loaisaka is closer.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll see. All
right.
Hopefully things can pick up.
But the bullpen is not really my issue.
No.
Besides Devin Williams.
We can talk about that.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
The bullpen is really not my issue because, like, I look at the names and, like, they're not doing bad. Like, I've always hated Mark Leiter, but, you know, he's kind of showing me differently. And
yeah,
then there's other guys
the
who
way.
Are, like, last year when I saw him come out the bullpen, I was like, yo, get him out. Please get him out. The last game when Devin Williams blew the save.
Which one?
Last game, Yankee Stadium. What game did I go to?
Yeah. Oh, no, for the
hockey jersey game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I go to that game. I see Devin Williams come in, and obviously he's blowing it, and I'm over here yelling with the crowd, like begging for Luke Weaver to come out. And I see in the bullpen from far away that that's Mark Leiter. I scream out, guys, it's the wrong guy. It's the wrong guy coming out. We're cooked. And then the rest is history.
It's giving Clay Holmes.
It is.
White Horse. Like, oh my God.
Oh
I
my
can't.
God. Love that song.
Like, it's ruined for me. I
don't blame you.
It's
it
so
is.
Ruined.
We are spoiled Yankee fans. You know who we had as a closer for decades? We had Mariano
I know.
Rivera.
Oh my God.
And
I
we
know.
Can't go back to a decent closer.
It is so fascinating to me how they have never, like, since 2013, I mean, if I'm not misremembering,
yeah. Yeah,
since
no,
2013.
Yeah.
Yeah. That they haven't had a good closer.
Like Chapman did his thing for a couple of years, I won't lie, and then towards the end of Chapman's Yankee
right.
career was like...
I was scared when he'd come out, yeah.
No,
there
yeah.
There's been no Yankee closer since Mariano that hasn't been like slightly traumatizing to Yankee
oh.
fans.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I have
there's nobody...
I don't have trauma yet with Luke Weaver.
Oh, no,
that's
not
true.
Yet.
But nothing with him.
I haven't thought of him as my closer yet because like
right.
he hasn't gotten
fair,
that like
fair.
Full-time responsibilities. Fair. And obviously when we trade for Devin Williams, I'm thinking to myself like, we just got the best closer from the NL.
Right. That was like the best possible move you could have made for that.
Nestor
so
Cortez
excited.
Of all people. Like, are you serious? Like,
yeah. I was a little emotional when Nasty Nestor left. I was like, oh, okay.
That was
kind of
sad.
You want honesty? I was like, all right, bye.
Well, okay. After the World Series game, I was like, okay, maybe he can go. But like through the season, I was like, oh, watching his funky pitches. I just
I
loved
I'm
watching
sure.
him.
We grew him into an all-star that one
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
You know,
he has history with the Yankee franchise.
Yeah. No, it's bittersweet. It's bittersweet for
yes.
sure. But I was definitely like, all right, cool. We got Devin Williams.
And I was at that game where they had those 9 home runs, 4 of them off Nestor Cortez.
Well, I was
like,
at the game before
my God.
That, man.
It was so bittersweet. It was like, I was so sad for him, but I was really happy, obviously.
I was ecstatic.
Yeah, that was a crazy game.
All right. Well, speaking of closers, actually. Since our episode last week, we have a change at the Yankees closer position. Luke Weaver is back in as the Yankees closer. Devin Williams is now, seems to be their 8th inning guy, if I'm...
I wouldn't say specifically. Like,
or 7th.
He's the kind of guy, depends, it's situational right now.
Yeah, less stressful situations.
Just whatever, yeah, just get a clean inning kind of books.
Yeah. Well, he pitched a clean 8th on Monday, so
yeah.
that was nice.
Yeah. You got to get him out of those less stressful situations.
Yeah.
It sounds terrible because he's a veteran. He knows
right.
what he's doing. It's just the Bronx has a totally different environment, and it's known to be very intimidating to new players. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of people almost don't want to come. That was a big thing. Like, people didn't want to come because of the environment and also for the facial hair, but that's changed. But
and he sucks.
I know. He's terrible. But he was the one that changed the rule. It's been a rule for forever.
I mean,
but,
wow.
Grace can quote me on this. Last week when we talked about this, I was adamant in giving Williams a game or two more. I was like, give him some grace. He has time. And then
it was that night.
You had texted me and I was like, oh my God, can we not air the podcast? Like, can we cut
that,
please?
Yeah, we got to rerun that one.
So I'm happy now. I know. I'm changing my stance. I'm happy he's in that position. I'm happy that Luke Weaver has his chance because he's proven his ability. He's able to close. He's able to keep the Yankee fans in their seats, not standing up shaking when Devin Williams comes out. But, yeah, no, I'm happy with it now. I take back what I said. And, yeah, now I'm happy.
Is there wood somewhere? I'm not gonna
oh,
wood
yeah,
because,
please, everyone.
Because what I'm about to say, I'm hoping doesn't change, like, tomorrow.
Would
thank
you?
God today's an off day. But Luke Weaver's. Has a 0 ERA. All right, he has not given up one run so far. He's been as dominant as you can ask for. So he is the right guy for position, right? When you're the freaking Yankees, right? You're top of the AL East right now, 18-13. The record is not that good. But you need a reliable closer for the end of these games, because there's so many games that I watch with the Yankees that are like one-run, two-run games because the offense sucks and the pitching somehow is incredible. Mm-hmm. And the other team just offense sucks at that game as mm-hmm. well. So you just need that reliability like at the end of the games. And like Devin Williams, if I had to be a betting man, if I had to predict right now, like Devin Williams is going to be the closer for the Yankees back in June.
Okay.
July.
I'm gonna quote you on that one.
I actually would not be surprised.
I think he'll be the closer again because, right, 9 ERA right now, if you start seeing Devin Williams have, like, consistency of, like, clean, whatever, 6, 7, 8 inning ball games, you'll even see him pitch a 9th inning during the Luke Weaver closing period. Just mm-hmm. I believe that. But, like, full-time closing responsibilities, I can see him back in June once he kind of, like, guys groove back. It's going to happen.
Do you think that if Luke Weaver stays where he is, though, Devin Williams would still take this place?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, because you don't trade for a closer that is like Devin Williams and then just take him out of his position for the entire season.
That is a good point. Okay. That's tough to do.
If he was just a top reliever in the game and mm-hmm. like not necessarily a closer, then yeah, keep him in his position as long as Luke Weaver is as dominant as he is. But you know, you traded him to be your closer. He's been the top closer for years. Devin Williams, I think he said it, I don't want to say recently, but he has said in a post game about the usage of his changeup and how much he's consistently using it. And the more I keep watching him pitch, I keep thinking of Tommy Kahnle because it's like he only has two pitches and you're not going to throw the fastball to every single hitter every time. But you can't throw the changeup every time. Like Devin Williams is the kind of guy that I would pray to God you can find a third pitch. Because the changeup is beautiful. Like, I love the airbender movement. It's nasty, but it's not good enough when that's the only pitch you throw, and batters are going to be prepared for that.
I was just about to say, they're going to know what's coming.
Exactly. And that's what they do. I mean, Tommy Kahnle got his success last year, even though they knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And you're hoping that's the same thing with Devin Williams soon. But you got to develop either location needs to be great, like that fastball, you got to hit the corners, the inside, outside, whatever. Or that changeup just has to take another level of greatness. Or find a third pitch. Find something.
Or that.
Yeah.
That's part of Rendon's success that we talked about earlier. Like, he found a different way to throw the slider. Now it's more like a 12-6 curveball for sometimes. He has a changeup now that he's confident in throwing. You know, that's just things that Williams has to work on while Luke Weaver is a closer.
Speaking of Tommy Kahnle, he has a .77 ERA right now.
Oh, wow.
Why is he not with the Yankees? Oh my gosh.
We don't have room for him, honestly.
No,
that's the thing. You really didn't, but
it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, on the Williams thing, like, it's tough to, as you kind of alluded to, Angel, like, it's tough to get a guy like that and he like struggles a little and then that's, you just pull the rug out from under him. I think it's a right move for the Yankees as a team to put Weaver in the closer role because he's the one that you can rely on right now. But I do think at some point Devin Williams is going to probably throw several very nice innings in, you know, other situations. And then he's going to be back in the closer role because that's they know what he can be too.
Yeah.
We've seen it every single year pretty much. So it's tough. It's tough to just give up on that experiment immediately.
That's fair.
Didn't they do the same thing with Clay Holmes last year? He lost the
closer
role.
Oh, yeah.
And then he got it back. I want to say not fairly quick, but he got it back maybe within a month.
He never while he was on the Yankees got back to his prime.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
Clay Holmes was the guy. He was the closer. He was no Mariano Rivera, not saying that. But at the time, he was the guy that the Yankees leaned on. They needed him, and he did his job. And then somewhere out of nowhere, I think it was after the All-Star break,
It's always the All-Star break.
He wasn't performing as he should. And now he's doing well on the Mets, unfortunately, but as a starter, which is crazy. But
anyway. Clay Holmes has his stuff to be a starter. Don't get me wrong. His stuff is nasty. I just didn't think that he can pitch more than two
years.
Yeah,
neither did I.
Yeah, I will admit when they first made that deal, I was a little confused.
So was I.
I was a little that's an interesting tactic. But I also... David Stearns, since he became the GM, has made some actually great moves on the rotation.
Agree.
Sean Manaea last year, I have like an agenda for Sean Manaea. I love him. But like, Sean Manaea was awesome. They've had some other guys who've been pretty, I mean, Seve last year, mm-hmm. miss him so much, was great. Like,
yeah.
last year, their rotation was had its moments of being like, huh, he really did something here.
Yeah.
And it's not with guys who you immediately think like, oh, that's an ace, you know?
You didn't have your ace.
We didn't have our ace last year. Like,
yeah.
So I you know, I will admit I was a little confused by the Clay Holmes move, but so far it's panned out very nicely. 2.64 ERA, and he's pitched 30 innings. I am a little interested to see what happens later in the season as the innings go up. Like, can he handle that literally just like body-wise, like not even any
he can
fault
probably
of his
make
own,
it till Manaea or Montas can probably come back, because then you guys will have like a legit maybe like what, six starters?
Yeah, you'll have a deep
they
Holmes,
have options.
Holmes could
rotation.
Be like that kind of in and out kind of piece, go back to the bullpen, start some games, be an opener kind of thing, just to watch
he
innings.
Is experienced in every pitching position you
can
have.
Yeah,
so
I'm
god bless him.
I mean, hey, yeah. all right, well, actually, okay, I'm gonna like combine Mets and Yankees for 1 second.
Let's do it.
What do you guys think is the ceiling? Obviously, very, very early. We just passed a month of the season, but what is the ceiling for these teams?
That's a great question.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the Mets... You want to go?
No, I have an idea, but I'll let you go.
Okay. No, I think the Mets will keep this up. I do, and that hurts to say, but I do think they'll keep it up. I hope that Pete Alonso, because people were skeptical of taking him back last year, I hope he keeps it up just to prove those people wrong.
Yeah.
I think that he has a 3.43 ERA, 7 home runs, and 28 RBIs. I think that he's doing amazing, and I think the duo of him and Lindor, and I thought it was going to be Soto and somebody else, but Lindor's got a 3.08 batting average. I think I said ERA earlier, but I meant batting average. 6 home runs and 16 RBIs. I just think they got to get the back half of their bullpen and like in working up again, like we were talking about earlier. I think that could be their ceiling a little bit, but I think the Mets are doing obviously very well. I think the Yankees, in a sense, like I said last week, bottom half of their batting order needs to be more consistent. It's got to be more consistent. We've had great games this week. We were talking last week how Volpe was 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts against the Guardians, and he was batting below 200, but now he's at 237. So he's picking it up a little bit. You've seen home runs, obviously, by Trent Grisham. He's leading it off. And I'd like to see more from Wells. I'd like to see more from Cabrera a little bit more. But I think just getting that back half of the batting order back up in place, I think that'll help them a lot, but I think that Judge has to keep doing what he's doing. Paul Goldschmidt, Ben Rice.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Like, Paul Goldschmidt.
We didn't even
like,
talk about him, but,
from?
Like, what?
Like,
I love that man right now.
I honestly was a little skeptical when we signed him. I was like, oh.
Really? I wasn't. Really? I wanted him.
I had the same reaction.
I was kind of, like, a little confused.
I was like, oh,
and
all right.
I was honestly so happy to pivot to Ben Rice. When he came back, he put on 10 pounds of muscle, and I was like, oh, this guy's going to be a unit. Like, he's going to be a guy that you don't want to mess with. And here he is.
That's my favorite Dominican.
Benaros?
Yeah.
I love Benaros.
Come on now. That's my favorite number 22.
Is he the best 22 in New York right now?
Question.
Yeah.
Oh, here
yes.
we go.
That's just... Oh, Derek, you agree?
Yes.
Yes, he is the best 22 in New York right now. So I think the Yankees and the Mets have so much potential, and they're obviously number one in both of their leagues right now. So I'm excited to see how this Subway Series is going to pan out in May, the week
don't,
of our
don't
graduation.
Get me, don't get me
the
started.
The week of our
that.
Graduation.
I was about to say, that is crazy.
Because I can't go the 16th.
You
I can't go
I
the 17th. I'm trying to go
I'm
Sunday.
I'm trying to go Sunday. And those
gonna,
are going to be so expensive.
Oh, I know it is.
All of us are going to try to go on Sunday. But I'm going.
I'm getting tickets to Sunday. That's the ESPN game too. 7:00.
Yep.
Yeah, I really want to go.
Oh my god, I want to go so. And it's in the Bronx.
Yeah,
I've never been.
I was gonna go to
City
Field. No, City Field is beautiful.
I've never been.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
I know.
So
I want to go. I want to go to a Subway Series at City Field, but
you
I
gotta.
Need to go on Sunday.
I did last year. The game we got blown out though. So it was,
okay,
and I think it was a rain delay too. It was
oh
fun.
Jesus,
nothing was fun that game.
Well. That's the worst
it wasn't.
Combo.
But then I went the year before when Clay Holmes struck out Lindor and Marte back to back on base loaded. That was I screamed to all my fans.
That was a bad year.
But Grace, to your question, I believe you know Mets Yankees. April is a interesting month for every team because you know it's almost like a second spring training. Pitchers, hitters are still trying to get into their groove. So it's important to start off good now because there's a lot of scenarios where teams struggle, go into slumps by June, July. I mean, the Yankees are definitely an example of that. I believe the Mets and Yankees both are going to win their divisions. I think they're going to continue this because the more I look at the AL East, at least, and how inconsistent I would say the Yankees have been, the rest of the teams have been inconsistent as well. I mean, Boston could come out of nowhere. I'm not going to say nothing about them, but I have no hope in the Blue Jays, Rays, or Orioles, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Orioles are bad. Like, yeah.
But they literally,
on?
they just no beat the Yankees. Yeah, what, that was. They won two out of the three games?
That was,
yes,
that was weird.
But
like,
you gotta
remember the 15-2 game. That was a crazy game.
They have no pitching. That's all I gotta say. Orioles don't have any pitching. That's why they're gonna struggle. The Rays are the Rays. They'll be good and bad. Blue Jays suck. And it's just really Boston. It's only the team I'm really worried about.
That would be so awful to see if they come back and take this division.
Don't say
I
that,
will.
Please.
I will cry.
I will be crying.
I kind of want that as.
I will be.
I
mean,
oh, come
I know.
On.
No.
I want the Phillies to win a division.
No. I don't want. I didn't say that. I was gonna say I want that as a playoff matchup. Yankees Red Sox.
Chill, that would be so fun.
Think, but Yankees have to come out on top.
Yeah. No. But like the sport of baseball, that would be so. Baseball needs that. Like baseball needs the pure hatred. I mean, we have that.
We also haven't had really like competitive Yankee Red Sox teams
yes.
in a couple
no,
years
yeah.
because
like,
they're never good
that.
At the same time
exactly.
these days.
Mm-hmm. So I think they're pretty even. The Red Sox
yes.
are down one game
yeah.
like to the Yankees, and I think that would be a really fun. And I have to say, I would go to Fenway for that game over Yankee Stadium.
Fenway's
if you've ever
awesome.
Gone to Fenway,
I have gone to Fenway.
Oh my god,
so cool!
I love going to Fenway for Yankee Red Sox games, and I've gone three times, and all three times they have lost in the bottom of the 10th.
Oh dear!
Oh, like it's the worst experience, but I have so much fun. And Fenway Franks are unbeatable. So
yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think I could do Yankees.
I was gonna say that's tough.
That'd be
you're,
crazy.
You're really putting yourself.
I did
at
like
risk
a
there.
Random Fenway game just to see
yeah.
the stadium.
I did Red Sox Orioles in like 2022. It was like the end of the season,
oh, that's a
so
cool
we got
one.
Super cheap tickets, like very close.
I do need to go
really,
to Camden.
Really
I want to go to Camden
so bad.
Yeah. Beautiful. I went this summer.
That's
a bucket list on the summer.
That is a top two ballpark for me.
I gotta see when the Yankees.
I might say Citi Field one, but. Like,
I
obviously.
Mean, no,
good.
Grant, the food is actually great.
Yeah, I heard.
Food is great. Like, the stadium is obviously better than Yankee Stadium. We just have more, like, history. That's really the
yeah.
only.
Yeah.
If
we had
thing.
The original Yankee Stadium.
Oh.
Where.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was not really around at that point. Like, I mean, I was around.
I was a couple years old. I wasn't.
6 years old.
Yeah,
when
I was
they
exactly.
the stadium, so I had never gone, but. They, like my dad would always tell me when he would go, you couldn't ever see anything from like the aisles, the hallways.
Yeah.
So like you had to actually watch the game, which I think is like that's the authentic way of watching baseball. You can't
yeah.
just like everybody's up and moving, whatever. I kind of wish it was sold.
I'd be getting those standing room Moly seats and just find
oh,
somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I did at the game where they had those 9 home runs. I just stood there.
That's
I was
oh,
standing
awesome.
At this little table and I was with my dad and we were like, okay, we can't move. After Paul Goldschmidt hit that first home run,
fire.
We're like, okay, can't move. And then it was Cody Bellinger and we're like, wait. And then it was judging like, oh my god, we can't go. Like it was terrible. We couldn't move.
That is amazing. With both teams though, the
yeah.
Mets to maintain first, fix the bullpen. And then to your point, like for the Yankees to maintain first, fix the bottom of the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, you need your consistency from Volpe, Wells. I know Chisholm just possibly an IO stint when it's something on your side and oblique
right.
that's hard
yeah.
to come back from it for a few days. So who knows? So hopefully Peraza's gained those minutes or well playing time. I don't know why I said minutes. And he can, you know, showcase some of that potential that I've been seeing for years that the Yankees don't want to test out with him. But at the end of the day, you know, you can't rely on the top of your lineup and then think you're not going to get any run support from the bottom. That's Judge
yeah.
can't do it all. You know, as great as Ben Rice has been, he's not going to maintain this excellent
mm-hmm.
start. Like, I think he's going to be good, but this is beyond
this
good.
This is crazy.
This is crazy.
Is insane.
And same
yeah.
thing with Paul Goldschmidt. Like, I think he's going to
yeah.
be good, but, I mean, second in the MLB of average, yeah,
yeah,
I don't think he's that good.
That
okay,
was,
that's like DJ
it,
LeMahieu of 2019.
Yeah,
they said it on the broadcast one day, and I didn't know who they were talking about because they just mentioned that they had the top two batting averages in the league. And then I was like, oh, is it like Ben Rice? Like, who is it? And then they said Paul Goldschmidt, and I was like, What? Because Paul isn't a guy that certified, hits bombs. He's not like home run after home run.
He
like
hits
judges.
It everywhere.
Yeah. He could go in any point of the park, anywhere.
It.
And that's what you need. You don't need you don't need every single guy to hit home runs every single time they're at the plate.
Exactly.
You need that sort of get on base. You got to bring runners home. You got to do that kind of stuff. And it doesn't just have to be home runs. And I could not agree with you more about you cannot rely on your number one guy, because look at where that got us in the postseason. Your number one guy
didn't
even make
up.
Contact with the bat. Like, it was Giancarlo Stanton this whole time. Like, Aaron Judge.
And we still got to wait for him to
nothing.
Come back, too.
I was going
to
say, when is he supposed to come back?
He's supposed to come back around the summertime.
Yeah, was it end of June? Maybe?
Around June, July. Honestly,
that'll be interesting.
I'm excited to see, because then where does Ben Rice go?
It's a great
That's a
great
whole point. Other thing.
I've told people I think Ben Rice needs to get more of the PT over Stanton at DH spot.
Yeah.
I think it's. Let's just say they play like six times a week. I think it should be like 4-2, 3-3 to start the year. And then once Ben Rice slows down a little bit, then Stanton kind of kick it up and get more playing time. You want Stanton healthy for the later months. So like, I feel like if he's coming back in June or say beginning of July, I would say by like end of August, like he's going to start playing more full-time basis.
That's a good idea.
But Ben Rice, I mean, you want him against the righties. You want Stanton against the lefties. They're going to do that as well. Ben Rice will get the days Goldschmidt sits for first base, too. So
Or if Wells wants to sit. He catched the other day. Or he caught the other day.
We will find playing time for that, man.
Yeah, he'll go anywhere. He's dedicated.
My issue is with Trent Grisham. If he's going to continue doing what he's doing, now
that's
really
now that's really
a log.
But then you got, like, Jason Dominguez. Like, this is you could go 100 different ways on this right now.
Yeah.
He has to play. That's one thing. He has to play every day for you to see results. Like, he's already had, I think, 5 or 6 days off to start the year. And somebody that I think needs those days off instead of Dominguez is Volpe.
Yeah.
You can play Cabrera at shortstop, or you could play Peraza at shortstop.
Volpe's glove is just so unbeatable right now.
Besides yesterday. His glove sucked yesterday. But
we don't have to talk about yesterday.
No, you're so right. He's a gold glover. He's going to be in the spot every year, but like Volpe needs just to reset, you know. So he needs his days off. But I know he prides himself playing 162, but Dominguez also needs to be able to pride himself to play 162 as well. He wants to play it. It's just Boone. He knows that defensively, are you going to play him every single day at left field?
They also take him out early.
Yeah.
Every game. What was he? He was 3-for-4 one time, and they took him out in like the 7th inning.
If you have a lead, he's out.
But you got it. This kid's young. He needs to be comfortable in the game. Don't take him out.
Yeah.
Like, let
I
him
would
keep
agree
going.
With that, actually.
You have to grow confidence in some way. Do not take him out of the game. And going back to Jazz Chisholm for a second, I almost think this IL could be good for him. Mm-hmm. He was batting 181, which obviously is not good. And I think it'll be bad in a defensive standpoint and not having him at second. But I think offensively taking this break will help him in a way, because he was hot in the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, all the Yankees were hot. But I think he does need a little bit of a break, and hopefully this injury isn't too extensive. It's not going to bother him going forward. But I think this break could help him offensively.
I think defensively it's not going to be as big of a hole at second base, because Peraza is to me, he's a good defender wherever you put him. You know, he was naturally born as a shortstop. Like, I think he can take care of second base just fine. I don't know why Pablo Reyes gets playing time on the Yankees, honestly.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I need him
out of here as fast as possible. I need Peraza and Cabrera to switch off at second base. But offensively, yeah, I think you're right. You know, Jazz needs his time off. He is in the top, I think, 5 in strikeouts around the MLB right now. And he's just his swing. It's something with his swing that leaves the holes for him to swing and miss off these cookie fastballs down the plate. And it's the same thing with Volpe. But just Chisholm right now, he needs to kind of. He's that kind of groovy player, the swaggy player, you know, like when he's hot,
he's hot.
No, yeah, exactly.
I love his personality.
When he's cold, like, you're really going to feel it. Especially when you're batting a guy like 5th in the lineup, like right in the middle of like a Goldschmidt. And like,
yeah,
you already got
guys on base. You got to get him home.
You can't have that hole right there. Yeah. So hopefully he comes back better than ever.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to wrap it up here, but for our last segment, we have a game.
Yes,
I love games.
Well, this time, last time, Maddie, I gave you a surprise game.
Yeah,
but this,
this
time,
was unknown.
This time, I decided to let you know of it beforehand.
Appreciate it.
I want us to name our AL NL MVPs of the first month of the season. Now, obviously, like, Aaron Judge would come up first. I mean, I feel like you guys were probably
going to. Do I have to pick someone that's not Judge?
I mean, I was going to pick Judge, too.
I mean, like, yeah, go ahead. I'll put no caveats. Go ahead. Pick whoever you want.
Because I'm just going to name off his stats real fast. Just for the first month of baseball.
Yeah. Let's do it.
So, he's batting .427.
It's outrageous.
Right now. He's been batting in the 400s for, what, 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks now? Probably one of the longest stretch in the 400s you could possibly go. He has 10 home runs, 32 RBIs.
Should be 12.
That's true.
Should be 12. Because
they took away that one.
He has two home runs.
Oh, true.
That home run in Cleveland is because of the wall. That was gone. And then the Rays, it was.
Oh, my God. That was such a bad call. Props to Aaron Boone for that one because I would have been even more aggravated. But, yeah, no, and he has insane defense. Like, he just, you could put him. Oh, my God. I just love Aaron Judge. I could talk about him forever, but that's my pick. The obvious one.
Yeah, like, I can't.
It's hard to not pick Aaron Judge.
No,
when
like,
I don't.
We can argue for, like, NL when we get to that point. Yes, but, like, AL, I think we all know it's Aaron Judge. Like, you ripped off the stats. One stat that I have to say right now, besides a crazy, like, 112 OPS and, like, OBP of, like, 520, he has 50 hits in the month of April. And then besides Goldschmidt, who I think has 42, the next guy is like 10 hits behind him.
That's crazy.
Like, and also, like, not only is he batting like above 400, he's closer to 430 than he is to 400. So like that's kind
of, he's crazy.
The man is, he has a triple crown right now through the first month. I think that's the longest someone has had that in the history of baseball, or at least for a couple decades. So clearly Judge is an AL MVP candidate. I think if I really had to give the candidacy to anyone else, like, who can fight him for MVP, I mean, Bobby Witt is having an amazing year.
He's always a contender. He was last year, too.
I have to give Bobby Witt his flowers as well, you know, because did he snap his hit streak, or he still has it going?
I think last night I looked, and I think he still has it. It's like 21 games.
Yeah, like, he's just,
good for him.
He knows how to make the contact, and he knows how to get on base. He's fast. He can play defense. He's a 5-2 player, you know. Like, if I'm starting my franchise, I want him over Judge. If I'm starting my franchise, he's.
Wow, really?
What?
Did you just admit that on air? Guys, we're saying crazy things today. Yeah. What is going on?
That's a crazy comment. I'm looking around to see if they
heard
that
too.
Did
you guys hear that? Like,
I want Bobby Witt Jr. to start my franchise over Aaron Judge. Yes, because we're talking about, I have Bobby Witt for like 15 years.
Well, that's true.
I have speed. He's the type of guy who could get 30 plus steals.
He's also younger.
He's younger, He averages a 300 batting average above. You know, he's going to get 200 hits. He can get the power too. RBI is like, I mean, and he plays better defense than Judge.
Well, he's a shortstop, so I mean, that he's kind of often than he does. Yeah, like, yeah. I kind of hope you have better
of
defense
course,
infield than you do outfield, you
of
know?
Course, but I'm picking him as my second choice for AL MVP if I had to.
That is fascinating.
I get what you're saying. I understand how he can be in contention, but I would not pick him over Judge.
No,
that's...
I mean, okay, obviously.
It's really just the years. I said starting a franchise, if it was just like a one-year franchise kind of move, like, oh, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say no to Judge.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to build championships. I'm trying to go the long
route.
Kind
of, like, my one sad thing about Bobby Witt is that, like, the Royals have never, like, are probably never going to be, like, good enough for him to win the World Series
them,
and I'm like bummed out about that because I think Bobby Witt Jr. is so much fun. Like,
it's the word you said, good enough, because they're a good team.
They are a good team. I think they're a playoff. I mean, I think they're gonna go to the playoffs and all that, but like, I don't see them winning the American League or anything. Like,
they need more bats.
They need more
bats because
they
got to
build around
them. I love
their pitching is very good. All right. Well, obviously numbers wise, Aaron Judge, right? Let's just get that out of the way. I'm going to bring up another. He's not really going to be an MVP candidate, but the best catcher in the American League and also the starting catcher on my fantasy team, Cal Raleigh of your Seattle Mariners.
To me, this feels like a promo.
I mean, Bobby Witt Jr., star of my fantasy team.
My fantasy team is up there.
But Cal Raleigh tied for the lead with 10 homers, if that is updated today, and best catcher in baseball
for sure.
I mean, the Mariners are interesting.
They always have been.
They always are. They're always around.
They're bad interesting because
I feel like the past
they
few
have
years
talent that could be explosive on offense, like Raleigh, he's a great catcher, you know, defensively and offensively. Julio Rodriguez had a down year last year, but you know his talent. And after that, like, who really else on that lineup, you know, can really produce consistency?
I mean, like, a Rosarena, but, like,
Even,
you know?
Even him, like, he has, I think he has a lot more holes than I realized from his Tampa
days.
He
had that miraculous Tampa run, and then, like, I feel like we haven't heard about him since then.
Seattle is a team that I'm surprised they didn't acquire more offense in the offseason, and if they don't buy the trade deadline, I think they don't care enough for the division, because last year the division was in their hands before Houston just miraculously came back.
Oh, I hope that doesn't happen this year.
I hope Seattle can take it.
Seattle.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I like that pick, though.
But obviously, I mean, Cal Raleigh is not really an MVP candidate, just more of an MVP of his team, because he has basically put, as you said,
he's
put the Mariners
on the starting catch in the All-Star game.
Fair.
Yeah,
fair.
Honestly, he might be. National League.
Okay, we can get into this one.
This is interesting.
I have two.
You guys go first.
This kind of hurts to say, but I think Pete Alonso's up there. I do.
Love
he's
it.
Got,
he's
he's got a .343 batting average, like I said before. He's up there in home runs, got 7 home runs. He's got 28 RBIs. I think he's up there. But also, I think Corbin Carroll's up there.
Yeah.
I think he's had a pretty stellar season. He's got a .980 OPS. He's 17th right now, batting average of .289. He's second in the National League for home runs. I think he's doing well for his team. The Diamondbacks have been good in general. Obviously, you're playing them right now. We played them, what, last week? We were just playing the Diamondbacks. I think that he's a good player. He came in, and he was known to be the Diamondbacks guy. That's why he was picked. And he kind of had not a bad season last year, but not how they predicted him to go. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's, like just completely doing what he's supposed to do right now. And I honestly hope it continues for him.
I have one pick, and it wasn't any of those two players. I have Fernando Tatis Jr.
That's
a good one.
I mean, he leads the NL in average, right? Just right above Alonso right now. And, you know, he's in the middle pack of home runs. The RBIs, he's in the lower side of things. But, I mean, the Padres are second in the division. I mean, it's the Dodgers division, of course, but they're only a game and a half back. So, I mean,
they're neck and neck,
right?
I love that it's two California teams.
I love it, too. And listen, like, San Diego's going to be a good team. They were great last year. I don't see anything different this year. And Fernando, you give him a full year now, full regular season to produce these kind of numbers and lead the team to wherever they can get to. And standings-wise, I think he's a prominent pick at MVP. Like, I'm not going to say the average is going to stay the same. You know, I think he can be maybe a little above .300 hitter or maybe between, like, .280, .290 kind of guy. But the power comes soon. And if you can combine the hitting and the power. And he's actually plays a really good right field, too. I like him as my kind of, like, dark horse pick because besides, like, Alonso and Corbin, I think people always like to say, like, one of the Dodgers is an MVP candidate every year, like Otani. But I think none of them have really had such crazy years. So I like it if someone new can win it this year.
I would love that. And that's why my pick is, and this should not be a shock to anybody, my pick is Francisco Lindor.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
He was up there on mine, too. But yeah. I'll go Pete Alonso.
I was going to say, like, Pete Alonso would be my second pick because it's literally been those two on the Mets.
Yeah.
Lindor's batting .308, 6 homers. And obviously, I mean, last year he was up there. He came in second. He was not going to win because Otani had the, like, whatever. We don't have to talk about it. but, like, that happened. I think he's on that trajectory this year. I like that he didn't start slow like he often does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's key.
That was key. If he can keep it up, huge. He, again, kind of putting, not, well, you hope he doesn't have to put the Mets on his back, but he's one of those guys that could. And obviously, like, I think I probably value this a little more because I'm a Mets fan, but, like, the leadership on that team, I think that's important. I mean, if they ever name a new captain, he should absolutely be the captain.
He's the captain of Team Puerto Rico.
So I'm happy
to see that.
Exactly.
It's the one time I'll root for that, man.
We can go all day about Francisco Lindor, but, like, I think he's up there. I think he has a real case this year, especially if he keeps it up like this, because these numbers so far are excellent. Every time he comes up to the plate at Citi Field, too, it's like appointment viewing. Like, you got to be looking because you never know what's going to happen.
Can I just say one thing? I think as long as Ohtani doesn't have one of those, like, historic years that he had last year, like, I swear to God, if he, like, creates some type of club this year, like last year, I'm gonna be tight. It's, I'm gonna be mad, but yeah. As long as that doesn't happen,
to pitch again soon.
Yes.
Like, yeah. It was it end of this May. Year. Was it end of May or
no,
am I wrong?
I don't want to say that know. Soon. I would say later in the year, but no, it's possibly it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. I just hope that he doesn't do anything spectacular that they have to give him MVP because I think someone like Lindor deserves an MVP for his leadership. He's a wizard. On the field, I mean.
Oh my God, I didn't even mention
defense. Didn't even talk about that play.
That's my bad. No, oh my God,
I got you. It's okay. I got you.
Crazy.
I watched.
Thank you.
I watched the tape too.
That was crazy.
He's made some beautiful plays at short. I mean, listen, he's bungled a couple of them too. But like he
okay, it happens.
He owns. Yeah. He owns up to that. Happens to everybody. He owns up to it. He's like, that's defense. My bad, guys. And he good is, defense. Like, he's,
yeah.
He's a heart. Like he
he's
is
the heart of that team.
It's just more than that team. Like he could be the heart of the entire National League.
Yeah, having know? And like so having true. A captain on the team, like even just having, because we haven't had a captain since Jeter and now it's Judge, but like you can just tell the dynamic is different of having that leadership position. Mm-hmm. And I think just giving him the title will do so much more for the Mets, just more in like a personal standpoint rather than like how they are doing athletically.
Yeah, I agree. Like the Mets haven't had a captain since David Wright. Obviously huge shoes to fill in Mets land. Like people, we worship David Wright, but like, I think he absolutely deserves it. He's gone through a lot of ups and downs the first couple of years with him. Well, 2021 was not good. 2022 was good, then it ended really badly. 2023, not good. Like, he's been, it's very up and down. Now that I say it out loud, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
God, it's been a ride. But overall, those are our MVP picks. I think that's going to have to do it for this week's episode of Nosebleeds. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Grace McCarron. Thank you to my co-hosts Maddie Bergen and Angel Ducret as well. A lot more baseball to be played. It's May 1st. It's a new month of baseball, and we will keep you updated the entire season. So stay tuned for next week's episode of Nosebleeds. And Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports.